morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It's so good to be able to connect again on this virtual platform as we just think about how good God has been to us. I want to just make sure that we just stay focused on Jesus and everything we do as we look at our government and our leaders. And it seems like there is a surge of this Delta variant. We just need to stay in prayer and be led of the Holy Spirit, which we've been teaching on. And we've been trying to keep up fresh revelation on our website that you can be encouraged through your walk. We have our podcasts, our devotions daily that are put up on our website. We've got our blogs. We've got our Monday night Bible studies and special events that we're able to put there, and Tuesday noonday Bible study and Wednesday Bible study. And of course, we have our 8:45 in person and our 10:45 in person and our 10 o'clock online. So the Lord has given us so much opportunity to grow in the scriptures and to learn more and more about Him. A special scripture just put on my heart, a very familiar scripture to most of us, Romans 8:28. And we know all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. I want to read that again, because I'm telling you, in these days and times, we need this encouragement. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Isn't that good? Doesn't that do something for you? I just ask you to pray and be in prayer with me as we seek God's face before we get into the furtherance of this service. Again, we want to lift up our country. I want to lift up the world and just everything that's going on, the challenges with this COVID-19, this Delta variant, and that we as saints of God be led of the Holy Spirit to seek Him more and more. Let's pray.
Oh God, we worship You. We worship You, Lord, because You do all of the praise and all of the glory and all of the honor is to bestow upon You this day. For this is the day that You have made, and we come to rejoice this morning. Some of us, we come in these doors this morning, they have a lot of things that are on our minds, a lot of things that we have to face tomorrow. But now, in His presence is fullness of joy. Right now, in His presence, God, we're going to say, holy. We cry, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, we reverence Your name. I'm reminded, I believe it is in Acts chapter 16, where the scripture says Paul and Silas, they were in the jail. Yeah. They were in shackles. Even though their external surroundings around them look of gloom and doom, but inside, the Bible said that they sang hymns and they prayed. So I'm here to tell you this morning that no matter what's going on around you externally, but inside, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Holy Spirit abides with us, inside of us. Inside of this holy temple, and we cry, holy, holy, holy. God, we love You. God, we give You all the praise. Saints of God, this morning, Bible says that if we resist the devil, he has to flee. And one of the reasons that the ways that he has to flee is that we cry, holy. He can't stand praise. He can't stand to hear you say, holy. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. The scripture says that in that jail, as they began to pray and sing hymns, the doors of the jail open up. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you this morning that whatever's on you, if you begin to worship Him, then whisper to Him, God, I love You. God, You deserve all the praise. I'm going to tell you this morning, things are going to fall off of you. Anxiety, has to fall off of you. The stress has to leave. Because the Bible says where two or three are gathered in this midst, He's here by faith this morning. He seeks that would worship him in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. When we think of the goodness of Jesus and all that you have done for us, our souls cry, hallelujah. 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 Oh God, when we think about all of the blessings and all the ways that you have blessed us, God, we fall short. We fall so short of how you have blessed us. We've fallen behind, God, but oh God, we thank you. You outpace us. You outrun us every time, God. We fail to thank you and to acknowledge your goodness. For your goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. You are our shepherd, but we shall not want. You make us to lie down in green pastures. You leadeth us beside the still waters. It's in the stillness, God, that we seek your peace. It is in the stillness, God, we are relieved of our distress. God, we thank you and we praise you. Go from heart to heart and breast to breast this morning. Pour out your spirit on us, God. Each and every one of us are unique in our experiences with you. Each and every one of us who are here today, Lord, we have different needs. We have different desires. We are facing different circumstances and situations. But God, you know about all of it. You know about all of it, God. And as we stand before you today, Lord, as we stand before you, we ask God, by way of the Holy Spirit, breathe on us. Breathe on us. Breathe on us, God. Breathe your peace. Breathe your joy. Breathe health into these feeble bodies, God. From the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet. Your blood cover us. We declare that no weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper. And every tongue that has come against us, God, we rebuke it now. Because you are of your heritage. And we stand by way of your righteousness, God. And it's through your righteousness that we're able to stand and to claim your peace and to claim everything that the kingdom of God has in store for us. With that, God, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, thank God. Amen.
I am weak and I need thy strength and power to help me over my weakest time. Help me through the darkness, thy face to see. Trust in thee.
is so wonderful to be saved and to be a part of the family of God. That is amazing. The ruler of the universe, God, has called us his children via Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit working inside of us. And that's what we've been focusing on. That focus scripture, that topic scripture has been in Genesis 1 and 2, dealing with that second verse that it talks about the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, that creative spirit, that changing process that's taking place in us. And we've been dealing with the power of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit. I pray you've been blessed as we've been walking through these, and we're learning more about the Spirit together. As I've had this opportunity to step through the books and really focus in on the vehicle that God uses as the Holy Spirit and his personality traits and how tender he is and how so often we take for granted. It's really blessed my life and just being sensitive. Of course, with that, we also learn more about our flesh and realize and are able to see that the flesh, it cries out so often, but thank God for his power that's inside of us. Well, before we go any further, I want to pray over this sermon today, the scriptures that we'll be going through, that it be fresh to you. And we thank you. We thank you for just focusing in and allowing God to change us all from the inside out. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for today's lesson, Lord. I thank you for the scriptures that we will be focusing in on. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit. And I pray right now for those who are listening and looking in, Lord, if there's someone out there that's not saved, would you help them today to make that confession of faith? Lord, you said in your scripture, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that, Father, you raised him from the dead, you said that they would be saved. And I thank you for that saving grace, Lord. Let them know it's a gift. It's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift from you. Help them to receive that gift. For the saints who are saved today, I pray that they be edified, lifted up, be stronger in you, Lord, that your light may shine more and more through us. Lord, move me out of the way, forgive me of my sins, and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And Holy Spirit, again, we're teaching about you. Would you teach and guide and lead us into all truth? Make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. Thank you, Lord, for your love that you bestowed upon all of your body. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to focus on special scriptures out of the book of Galatians. We'll be going in today, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and I want you to rest your eyes with me on the 16th verse. Galatians chapter 5 and the 16th verse. It reads, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We want to speak from a title today, Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. If you've been noticing as we progress from the Old Testament to the New Testament, it seems that as we study more on the Holy Spirit, we really get a detailed understanding. And the more we dig in, we can see the movement of God's Spirit on the inside of us and what that means for the believer. So often we've treated the Holy Spirit, the church as a whole, as some kind of mystical entity that would just fall on men or move men from time to time and women from time to time. But oftentimes we didn't really examine how he moves in us on a daily basis, 24 hours, 7 days a week, and literally is fighting against our fleshly desires. And that's what we're going to deal with today. Our time period is AD 49. Paul the Apostle has come into this church, this fledgling church at Galatia. And simply stated, this church has come out of darkness into the marvelous life. But there are a lot of religious people there that are leaning more towards the flesh, the fleshly nature. And it's sad so many times that even in religion, you can have God all mixed up in flesh stuff. And there's a struggle that's going on. These new saints are trying to understand the freedom of the Spirit, how to walk in the Holy Holy Spirit on a daily basis, but yet some are striving to pull them back to fleshly desires and fleshly ways. Also within this scripture, we're going to see literally what it means to walk daily in the Spirit, what it means to hear the voice of God via the Holy Spirit as we are thankful for salvation in our lives. Let's jump into these scriptures. Galatians 5:16 again, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Here's our first point. We can beat the flesh. There ought to be some hallelujahs out there. We can beat the flesh. When I'm thinking about this, I often use this example of eating. All of us know so often, because we're blessed in the society, that we have an abundance of food, at least in this season. And you don't even have to be hungry, but you can see a commercial, or you can have a smell that comes through, and all of a sudden, you want to go get a snack. You want to do this, and the flesh rises up. Some are trying to lose weight, and their biggest challenge is to try to change their habits, to try to tell their flesh, no, we're not going to eat this. We're going to eat something else, because our flesh likes oftentimes things that are not good for us, that cause issues within our lives. So we can see that there is a battle, even within ourselves, of our mind knowing what's right, but yet our flesh desiring so many things. But I want you to know, as we look at these scriptures today, you can beat the flesh, and this is what Paul the Apostle is bringing to the church of Galatia to understand about the powerful movement of the Holy Spirit. C.I. Schofield, a great preacher and theologian, he writes this. He said, the problem of the Christian life is based on the fact that so long as the Christian lives in this world, he is, so to speak, two trees, the old tree of the flesh and the new tree of the divine nature implanted by the new birth. And the problem itself is how to keep barren the old tree and to make fruitful the new tree. The problem is solved by walking in the Spirit. We have an old nature. That old nature did not just automatically die when we got saved. That flesh was brought over, and God is transforming our spirit from the inside out, but we fight with this flesh. And I like where Schofield brings out, he says it's like two trees. We've got that old tree, but we've got that new tree, and there's a struggle, a choice that needs to be made. Looking closely at that second part of Galatians 5:16, it said, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We must make a conscious decision. Please hear me, a conscious decision every hour, every minute, every second, to choose to walk in the Spirit. Now the question comes in, Pastor, we've been learning about that. Could you give more detail on how to walk? How do we know that we're walking in the Spirit? I believe as we're hearing the voice, that still small voice of the Spirit, we're understanding our choices more and more. Jesus said this in John 3:5. He answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, capitalized, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. It is a essential within our lives. If you are saved, please understand, we've said this over and again, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Jesus goes on to John 3:6. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. A transformation process has to take place. Remember Nicodemus, he went through this whole process. He's like, can a man enter into his mother's womb again? And Jesus is like, no, that's not what I'm talking about. But when you are saved and you've accepted the Messiah, Jesus Christ, a change comes on the inside. There ought to be some hallelujahs. We know that there is a freshness, but yet there's still a struggle. We're talking about walk in the Spirit. Look at Romans 8:4. It says that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So we have all these scriptures that let us know we no longer walk to the desires of our flesh, but we walk according to the Spirit. That's capitalized. He wants to lead us. He wants to control us. Romans 8:5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. saints of God, on a daily basis, we have to lean in more and more to God's word, to prayer, so that we can be directed by the capital S, the Spirit, and not by our own selfish desires and lusts. Romans 8:6 brings it out even more. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Anybody want life and peace? Put in the chat, life and peace. That's what we want, but we can't be there until we decide more and more, no more flesh and more spirit. The Spirit of God needs to be out front, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor need can be. Look at Romans 8:8. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Isn't that heavy? Walk in the Spirit. All of these things are being brought together. Paul the Apostle is encouraging the Galatians church by understanding the difference of the flesh and the Spirit, and we bring in these scriptures from Romans to help us to realize that if we're in the flesh, we cannot please God. Romans 8:9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. I'm talking about walk in the Spirit. As saints who are saved, who have been delivered and set free, we have God's Spirit on the inside of us. We must recognize him again over and over and give him preeminence within our lives as a choice. Let me show you in Galatians 5:17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Wow, isn't that heavy? I want you to hear that again. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Here's another point. Who will you allow to win? Who will you allow to win? It's a choice within our lives. We've got our flesh and we've got our Spirit, and we're going to keep bringing those up over and over again, the Holy Spirit that's in us. But there has to be a choice within ourselves that who are we going to allow to be out front, the flesh or the Spirit? And sadly, so often in our lives, we have lent ourselves more to the flesh. In John Bunyan's books, he shows something. He says, both Christ and Satan long for the possession of the city of a man's soul. Both Christ and Satan long for that. And our arch enemy, he is against us. Demonic spirits trying to keep our minds not focused on the Holy Spirit, but focus on the things of this world. We've got so many opportunities to focus on the world. We've got our devices and we're connected socially 24 hours, 7 days a week. And sadly, much of that which we take in is not good for our spirits. It's not good for really leaning to the understanding of the Holy Spirit. I love the Contemporary English Version. It states this scripture. It says this. It says, the Spirit and your desires are enemies of each other. They are always fighting each other and keeping you from doing what you feel you should. I love that. The Spirit and your desires are enemies of each other. They are always fighting each other and keeping you from doing what you feel you should. So within our lives, as we're getting close to the Lord, we're going to feel that struggle even more. And again, that conscious decision has to be made. God, I want to walk in your Spirit. I want to walk in your Spirit, but we're going to have to crucify that flesh. And that struggle is going to be, but thank God that greater is he that's in me and you than he that is in the world. Let's look at this next part. This next part really, really hones in on the details of what's going on in the inside of us when we examine the flesh. Galatians 5:18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Here's the other point. Pictures of the flesh. Pictures of the flesh. Now, as we examine these scriptures, I put them together, and it was my tendency, it was my desire to just kind of go through the scripture and just do a general explanation of it. But, you know, the Spirit was speaking to my heart. He said, these things need to be defined. So often, we can just kind of graze the surface of things, and we don't want to deal with understanding when it comes to our flesh, because we want to justify kind of living in our flesh and doing fleshly things and say, you know, I really didn't know, even though the Holy Spirit may be convicting us and pricking our hearts. As I went through those lists, I wonder if you saw yourself. Are there some things that are in our lives that we are struggling with? Let's quickly define these pictures, because I want you to know the definition. First one, adultery is unfaithfulness in the marriage relationship. Fornication is unlawful sexual intercourse. Uncleanness is moral evil and sensuality. Lewdness is shameless conduct involving absence of restraint. We see a lot of that in our society. Idolatry is not only the worship of idols, but also the immorality that accompanies demon worship. Yes, it is around. Sorcery is witchcraft, the Greek word being related to drugs, pharmakeia. Because drugs are used in sorcery, the word came to mean intercourse with evil spirits or the use of magic spells. It may also include superstitions, bad luck, etc. Yes, that's a work of the flesh. We see drug addictions at an all-time high, and the enemy is moving in and attacking even the saints. Hatred means strong feelings of malice directed towards individuals. This is not just on the outside of the church, but even amongst believers. I've had to deal with hatred in people's heart and not wanting to forgive. Contentions are discord and variance and quarrels. Jealousies are distrust and suspicions. Wrath is outburst of hot anger or passion. Somebody need to say ouch. Selfish ambitions are self-centered strivings to be number one, even at other expense. Oftentimes our society teaches this, and it's training people and encouraging people to live in selfish ambitions. Dissensions are separations caused by disagreements. Heresies are sects formed by men with self-willed opinions. Aren't we seeing these heresies in our government and leadership positions? Envy is displeasure at the success or prosperity of others. Murders, oh, the homicide rate is going up, are unlawful killings of others. Drunkenness refers to intoxication caused by strong drink. And revelries are riotous gatherings for entertainment accompanied by drunkenness. Walk in the Spirit. My God, as we think about the flesh and all of these things, we can't help but see all of these descriptions displayed in our society and even in the people that are around us and even in ourselves. Lord, help us to walk more in the Spirit. Look closely at Ephesians 5:21 and that last part, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Saints, we have to stop making excuses for people, and they have to understand, if you're living in the flesh, please understand, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's right there in the scriptures. We must make a conscious decision and ask ourselves, have we truly accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? Because if we have, there is going to be a change within our lives. There is going to be a different mindset that does not make us perfect, but it gives us the desire to want to be led of the Holy Spirit and fight this good fight of this flesh that's coming against us. We can say, no flesh, you are not going to lead me, but I'm excited that I can lean to the Holy Spirit to lead me in understanding and thought and to overcome the flesh. Look at Galatians 5:22, gives us some hope here. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Here's another point. You may be able to guess this one. Pictures of the Spirit. pictures of the Spirit. I do find it interesting, as Paul the Apostle is led of the Holy Spirit, that there is so much detail in the flesh, because in the church of Galatia, they were struggling and all of these things were cropping up even within the fellowship of the flesh. But if you notice these traits of the Spirit, a very short list compared to that which is of the flesh. And the reason is, when the Holy Spirit is moving, it doesn't take much. If you walk in these things, I'm telling you, lives will be changed. People will be delivered and set free. Let's look at these pictures. I want to quickly define these. Love is what God is and what we ought to be. It is beautifully described in 1 Corinthians 13. That's that agape love. Man, when we lean to the Holy Spirit, we got that agape love to love even the unlovable, and to also thank God for loving us when we were sick in our sins. And I say that, sick in our sins, deep in our sins, messed up within our lives, but God loved us, and because he first loved us, we can love others. Joy is contentment and satisfaction with God and with his dealings. Anybody got joy out there? Peace could include the peace of God as well as harmonious relations among Christians. We need that. We need that joy. We need that peace. Long suffering is patience in afflictions and annoyances and persecutions. If we walk more by the leadership of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, think how much our jobs would change. Think how much our society would change if the saints stepped up. Kindness is gentleness, perhaps best explained in the attitude of the Lord towards little children. Goodness is kindness shown to others. Faithfulness may mean trust in God, confidence in our fellow Christians, fidelity and reliability. Are there any faithful saints out there? Gentleness is taking the lowly places Jesus did when he washed his disciples' feet. Self-control. Yes, self-control means literally holding oneself in, especially regarding sex. Saints of God, there needs to be more self-control in the body. We need to walk in the Spirit, and the closer we get to God, as said before, the more of these fruits of the Spirit will be shown within our lives. Samuel Chadwick, a Methodist author, he wrote this quote here, and I want you to focus in. He said, "The fruit of the Spirit is an affectionate, lovable disposition, a radiant spirit, in a cheerful temper, a tranquil mind, in a quiet manner, a forbearing patience in provoking circumstances and with trying people, a sympathetic insight and tactful helpfulness, generous judgment and a big soul charity, loyalty and reliableness and under all circumstances, humility that forgets self in the joy of others, in all things self-mastered and self-control, which is the final mark of perfection." How is your walk in the Spirit? How is my walk in the Spirit? I'm telling you, we need to have mirrors that we carry around with us 24 hours, 7 days a week, and we just look at ourselves. Look at ourselves. Look at our attitudes, and look at our talk, and look at the way we interact with other people. Because, saints of God, when we begin to examine ourselves, I believe there's going to be more prayers to God to help us, to change us, that we may be more like him. Again, that his light shine through us. Look at Galatians 5:20. "And those who are Christ," are you Christ? "Have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Wow. "And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Here's another point. Crucify the flesh. Crucify the flesh. This is tough. This is challenging, because all of us, as we look at this, this is literally a choice again that has to be made. We have to decide that we're going to crucify the flesh. And that semblance is that we know crucifixion with Jesus and those thieves that were signed. It was horrific. Nails were driven through the hand parts and their leg parts, and they were put on a cross so that they could not come off. It's the same respect as our flesh. Your flesh is going to scream. It's going to cry out when it's crucified, but we must crucify it daily. When we were saved, the flesh, in a sense, was nailed to a cross. Yes, it was nailed to the cross. That's our salvation. And many of us remember that freshness of salvation, and we just loved our Jesus, and we would tell people about Christ and all of these things. But the problem
is that flesh that was nailed to the cross kept wanting to jump off the cross. There ought to be some hallelujah. Somebody say, ouch. I understand what you're talking about. That flesh, man, it pulled itself. And every now and then we'll find it running from the cross, but you got to grab that flesh and put it back on the cross. And this is a daily experience that we go through. Romans 6 and 11 explains, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in its lust. I want to read that again, that 12th verse. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in its lust. You got to tell yourself, we are not going to allow that flesh to reign. We're not going to allow sin to reign. We're going to make a choice, and there's going to be some tears. There's going to be some hurt and pain. Romans 8:13 says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Walk in the Spirit. Yes, this is a daily thing that we have to say, embrace God. We got to say, God, help us. And as you're in the chat, you may say, help us. And as you're in your living room, say, God, help me to process and to get into the point of really, really trusting your Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside. Let me get these final verses today. Galatians 5:25 and 26. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk also in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Listen to this again, Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, that's capitalized, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Here's our last point. The Spirit wants total control. Yes, that's sobering. The Spirit wants total control. Now, as we look at this scripture, the word walk in green in the Greek actually means to fall in line. And I understand this extensively because this is what we had to do when I was in the military, especially in basic training. We had to run, and when we walked together, we had to fall in line. That means that we got directly behind the person that was in front of us, and our leader would be out front, and we would walk together. And this is the same respect. It says that we've got to walk in the Spirit. We've got to decide to fall in line behind the Spirit of God. Now, this is encouraging because God is not telling us to lead the Spirit. He's saying that His Spirit, capital S, is going to lead us. All we have to do is fall in line. You can see this principle often in football. Oftentimes, they'll run a play and they will actually give that ball to a person that's in the background, and he'll run, but he'll be running right behind a bigger guy to bust through the line. And when that bigger guy goes to the line and knocks it open, you'll see that smaller guy run through. This is what God is saying. He's saying, I'm going to be the one that's in front of you. And when I bust through the line, I'm going to still stay in front of you. You just follow me. And this is a wonderful process, learning about to walk in the Spirit. And that's why our Savior is so important, what He did on Calvary for us. He showed us how to walk in the Spirit, even from the beginning, make His way up to Calvary. Think about Him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He showed us the fruit of the Spirit, long suffering, and He was patient, and He put aside the flesh and said, Father, not my will, let thy will be done. We saw the fruits of the Spirit working in Him when Judas Iscariot came up to Him and kissed Him and betrayed Him with that kiss. Aren't you glad that our Jesus showed that loving kindness, that agape love, in spite of His enemy doing that? That Jesus allows the people to beat Him and spit on Him. He goes up the Via Della Rosa, and on that cross of Calvary, nails in His hands and nails in His feet. He gave us a specific picture, as said before, of the flesh being crucified. But I'm so glad His flesh didn't have to be crucified, but He was our propitiation. He carried our sins and bore our griefs on the cross of Calvary. I'm talking about walking the Spirit. There ought to be some excited folks out there to think about it. Think about the thieves that were on the side of of him. One of them came to themselves. They realized the flesh had got them in this issue and they could not come off the cross, but they knew how to call on a God that understood the power of the Spirit. And Jesus said, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." Jesus dies on the cross of Calvary. They put him in the cold tomb, but I'm so glad for a glorified body. On the third day, he gets up with all power and all glory to let us know if we fall in line by accepting him as our Lord and Savior, and we recognize this powerful one that lives in us, the Holy Spirit. Oh, we can walk in him on a daily basis, and this flesh will not have control over us. Saints, we're living in a season of sadness. Yes, so many people have allowed the flesh to get out ahead of them. I was just reading a news story this week that occurred. This missing young man that's in Greensboro and his car had been burned and all these things. And I can't help but think about how mean people can be. How fleshly men and women can be. But I thank God that he's left his body here. A remnant of his body that loves him with their whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and is learning more about his word, and truly can say we are striving to walk in the Spirit. And via God's Spirit, there is a revival going on. Souls are being saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. I'm telling you, the enemy is being pushed back simply because God's saints are saying, we're going to get in line. We're going to follow your Spirit, God. And where you go, we go. When that flesh gets off of that cross, we say, no, you got to get back on that cross, because we've got a Savior that's done more than enough. If you're out there and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let the day be your day. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raised from the dead. You will be saved. And when that happens, oh, remember those trees that we talked. Now you got a new tree on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit comes on the inside of you. You are a believer. And now you have someone to help you fight this fight against the flesh. And the Spirit of God is there and strong, and it helps you to lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he directs your paths. For the saints who know Christ and understand the Holy Spirit, I encourage you to be edified more, that we can crucify that flesh more and more and to walk in the Spirit on a daily basis, that God can use us in amazing ways. Walk in the Spirit. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this word. Wow, thank you for the detail that you've infused in your word and the life that we receive, and also the correction, Lord. First, we ask for forgiveness. Lord, so many times we've allowed our flesh to get out front. But today, Lord, we're making the decision to strive to be more like you. Holy Spirit, forgive us for the times that we've grieved you. Lord, that we've caused you pain. And today, Lord, we want you to be out front. So, Holy Spirit, we ask you to guide us and lead us as you glorify Christ, as you glorify the Father. Lord, praise you for this season and time. We give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Holy, 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 holy is the Lamb. Holy is the Lamb. Blessed. Holy is the Lamb. Holy. Holy, holy, holy.